Radio Prague News.
Swiss officials have said that the extradition of fugitive Czech businessman Tomáš Pitr could take up to 1 year. The justice minister has revealed that he will dismiss the head of the Czech prison service. And Prague's place on UNESCO's list of World Heritage Sites is reportedly not at risk. Swiss officials have said that the extradition of a fugitive Czech businessman, Tomáš Pitr, sentenced to 5 years for tax fraud and mismanagement of property in the Czech Republic, could take up to 1 year. A spokesman for the Swiss Justice Ministry made the statement on Thursday, a day after the Czech was taken into custody in St. Moritz. Mr. Pitr had been in hiding since 2007, when he failed to begin his jail sentence. Earlier this year, the 39-year-old received an additional 6-year sentence in absentia for fraud and mismanagement of property that caused damage exceeding 700 million crowns to a number of state-controlled companies. Switzerland has called on Czech authorities to give an official request for Pitr's extradition, and the Czech Justice Ministry is expected to do so this Thursday. Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil, meanwhile, said he believed there was a 50-50 chance the extradition would be successful. In related news, the Justice Minister has told reporters he will dismiss the head of the Czech prison service, Luděk Hekula, as well as introduce a comprehensive audit and reform of the Czech prison system. He made the comments on Thursday, also saying that 40% of employees in the prison service's general directorate would be let go. The current head, Luděk Hekula, in the interim will be replaced by Jiří Tregler, the director of a prison in Pardubice, East Bohemia. Also on Thursday, the new justice minister revealed that he was cancelling a tender on an electronic surveillance system monitoring prisoners under house arrest. The minister indicated problems in the current tender, above all that it would allow a data bank on prisoners' information to be owned and held by a private company, saying it was unacceptable and that only the state should have access to such details. A new tender on the surveillance system could now be called for the end of September. Prague's place on the UNESCO list of World Heritage Sites will not be threatened, Czech Radio's Radio Journal has reported. Despite questions hanging over the city's handling of renovations in the historic Charles Bridge or over the construction and impact of the new Blanka Tunnel. UNESCO representatives visited the Czech capital back in January to look at projects underway and to meet with local representatives. A report based on their findings, the spokesman for the Cultural Ministry confirmed, recommended that Prague adopt clear rules governing the construction of new high-rise buildings. Inspectors in the report also expressed regret that proper documentation and studies were not conducted in advance of renovation of the landmark Charles Bridge. However, Czech Radio reports there is no danger of Prague being struck from the list of World Heritage Sites. The World Heritage Committee has been meeting in Brasilia, Brazil, since Sunday to review the status of current members as well as to present new additions. The daily newspaper Pravo reports that police have reopened the case of Jiří Kajínek, who was sentenced to life imprisonment in 1998 for murder. According to the paper, the police have already spent several months investigating whether the 1993 murder of a businessman and his bodyguard, for which Mr. Kajínek was sentenced, may have been committed by police officers. The investigation is apparently based on recorded conversations of the individual accused of actually ordering the killings, which allegedly say nothing of Mr. Kajínek but rather attest to police involvement. Jiří Kajínek has always maintained his innocence and gained a great deal of media attention when he escaped from prison on 2 occasions. Finally, a quick look at the weather. Mostly cloudy conditions are expected into Friday with a chance of rain. Daytime temperatures should range between 15 and 21 degrees Celsius. I'm Jan Vellinger, and that's the end of the news.
Hello and welcome to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Christian Falvey. Many thanks to you for tuning in. Coming up on today's show, one of the most sought-after Czech fugitives is captured in Switzerland, but will Tomáš Pitr ever actually be extradited? Meanwhile, another famous Czech convict, Jiří Kajínek, appears to have had his case reopened. The Czech pavilion at the World Expo in Shanghai is getting record attendance. And in today's panorama, a Czech research institute hopes to play a part in saving the endangered sturgeon. I hope you'll stay with us for all that here on Radio Prague. Swiss police have arrested the fugitive Czech businessman Tomáš Pitr, who in the Czech Republic faces 11 years in prison for tax evasion and embezzlement. The multi-billionaire was on the run for more than 3 years. Czech authorities believe that if extradited to the Czech Republic, he could provide crucial information about the infiltration by organized crime into state structures. Jan Richter has the details.
Tomáš Pitr is one of the few surviving symbols of the times when business, politics and organized crime were closely linked in the Czech Republic. After more than 3 years on being on the run, he was arrested at St. Moritz by Swiss police, who allegedly acted on information received from their Czech colleagues. Pavel Hanták is the spokesman of the organized crime unit of the Czech police.
We've been investigating certain crimes for quite some time now. That led us to very concrete and precise information about when and where Tomáš Pitr should be staying. We then gave this information to our Swiss colleagues, and based on that, Mr. Pitr was arrested on Monday, July the 26th at 11 p.m. at the Kempinski Hotel in St. Moritz.
Tomáš Pitr fled the Czech Republic in 2007, 2 years after he was sentenced to 5 years in jail for tax evasion. He began his career in the late 1980s as a backstreet money changer and made his first million after the fall of communism when he sold a truckload of duty-free rum. In the mid-1990s, he bought several mid-sized firms and eventually gained control of Setuza, the country's biggest food and chemicals producer. This January, he landed another 6 years for embezzlement of company funds. Czech authorities will now request his extradition. Czech Justice Minister Jiří Pospíšil describes the immediate course of action.
We will analyze all the steps the Czech judiciary took against Mr. Pitr. We now have 18 days to translate all the verdicts, and we will compile one complex document that we will send to Switzerland. At the same time, we will ask for an extension of this time limit, because it will take a certain amount of time to put together all the legal acts of the Czech judiciary related to Mr. Pitr.
If Mr. Pitr does end up in Czech prison, and if he decides to talk, he might throw more light on the links between organized crime and politics that plagued the Czech Republic not so long ago. Jaroslav Kmenta is a reporter with the daily Mladá Fronta Dnes, who has been following the case for years.
We generally know about the links between the mafia and former representatives of the political establishment around the year 2000. These were people around the then Social Democrat Prime Minister Stanislav Gross and later Jiří Paroubek, and within the Civic Democratic Party, people around the former MP and later Finance Minister Vlastimil Tlustý and Interior Minister Ivan Langer.
But according to the Swiss Justice Ministry, Mr. Pitr's extradition might take up to a year. Several Czech experts even suggest the extradition request might be refused, as the acts committed by Mr. Pitr may not constitute a crime in Switzerland.
That was Jan Richter with that report. A new film hits the cinema screens next week about the Czech Republic's most notorious prisoner, Jiří Kajínek. In 1998, Kajínek was sentenced to life in prison for the gangland killings of a Plzeň businessman and one of his bodyguards, a crime he's always denied committing. His daring escapes from several of the country's high-security prisons and persistent doubts about his conviction have made him something of a popular hero among Czechs. Rob Cameron reports.
A trailer for the new film Kajínek, which will premiere in Prague cinemas next week. It tells the tale of convicted murderer Jiří Kajínek, a hitman notorious for his daring prison escapes and incredible physical strength. The film reflects the Wild East atmosphere of Czech society in the early 1990s, when the line between legitimate businessmen and criminal gangs was sometimes rather blurred. Jiří Kajínek is certainly no angel. He spent most of the 1980s in and out of prison. Then came 1990 and the general amnesty issued by President Havel, under which thousands of prisoners, many of them dangerous, were released. Kajínek didn't stay out of jail long. In the same year, he was sentenced to 11 years in prison for armed robbery. In 1993, after going on the run, he committed the crime for which he was sent to prison for life, the contract killing of Plzeň businessman Štěpán Janda and his bodyguard. He escaped a number of times, most recently in 2000, when he was found after several months hiding out in a flat belonging to a convicted murderer. One man who knows the case well is the journalist and writer Josef Klima, who co-authored a book called The Truth About Kajínek. He spoke to Czech television about the new film.
We gradually discovered a huge number of doubts about the case. We found gap after gap in the evidence for which Jiří Kajínek was sent to prison. And it became quite clear that former members of the West Bohemia police force were involved. That's why we were interested in the case from a journalistic point of view. It's being made into a film because Czechs are simply fascinated by the story. I was asked long ago whether I'd agree to write the screenplay. Now I'm a journalist. As a screenwriter, I would have to deal with the question whether Kajínek was guilty or innocent. So I said no.
The film is already attracting enormous attention. Many ordinary people are convinced of his innocence, seeing in him almost a Robin Hood-like character who was framed by the authorities. The case has recently been reopened, with the media claiming to have seen the results of a new investigation suggesting that several corrupt police officers, and not Jiří Kajínek, gunned down the businessman. As for Jiří Kajínek himself, he's been paid an undisclosed sum for the rights to the film about him. The producers wanted him to attend next week's premiere. The authorities at Mirov prison seem reluctant to let that happen, although talks are underway about a special screening behind the prison walls.
Many thanks to Rob Cameron. To those of you who may just be tuning in, we thank you for joining us. You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, broadcasting around the world over shortwave, via satellite, and on the internet. I'm Christian Falvey. The Czech Republic's pavilion at the Expo 2010 fair in Shanghai is proving an enormous success. Attendance figures have surpassed expectations, and on Tuesday the pavilion welcomed its 4 millionth visitor. Radio Prague's Daniela Lazarová asked the Czech pavilion spokesman Jiří F. Potužník for the latest news from Shanghai.
The Czech pavilion welcomed during the first 3 months more than 4 millionth visitors, and our original expectation was approximately 3 million as a maximum for the total period. It means from 1st May till 31st October. In fact, as we know from the available information, is the Czech pavilion concerning attendance one of the most successful exposition at the Expo. And we have also very good and visible coverage in medias also. The space given already to the Czech pavilion and evaluated by the price of a commercial advertisement is at the moment more than 3 million euros, so we are quite happy with that as well.
I understand the record attendance has also been rather unexpectedly a burden for the pavilion. It requires extra maintenance, does it not?
Yeah, as I mentioned, some of the exhibits are interactive. For instance, cockpit of the ultralight plane, where visitors can have a seat and handle with the joystick and fly over the Czech landscape on the screen. And this is very extremely popular exhibit, and the joystick has been replaced by the new already. That's one example. The other one could be the modern art, especially works of Jakub Nebrash, who is using a number of projectors to alive his sculptures. And those are affected by the air pollution a bit, so they have to be clean or repaired also. But the pavilion is quite resistant and good, so and because of the reparation is usually done by night, the visitors can come as usually.
You've already mentioned several exhibits. What attracts people most to the pavilion?
Especially those interactive exhibits. The Chinese visitors are met about the possibility to handle or to drive something. They are happy they can touch some of our exhibits. So I can say that this is what's attracting them to come to the pavilion. But inside, they are moved and astonished by the modern art, especially by the work of Jakub Nepraš. What's something they can't even understand? How is it done? They are just impressed. So I think that those two things are most popular.
What about the golden teardrop? That received a lot of publicity.
Yeah, of course. The golden tear is just a part of the exhibit called Lacrimau. Every 500 visitor can come, take a seat in the glass box, and look at the golden tear from the pure gold. They can estimate what's the precise weight of that, and they can win some money in the very end of the exhibition. But concerning the exhibit itself, the visitors can take a seat there, they can watch the golden tear, and the laboratory is able to make a special and personal perfume for them just by the activity of their brain, which is taken by the sensors. So it's quite complicated, and that the golden tear is just one part of this sophisticated installation.
That must be extremely popular. Have you tried it yourself?
Not yet, I have to say.
And finally, I understand that the Chinese have expressed interest in buying the pavilion. Is that right?
Yeah, that's true. There were some interests in the Czech pavilion already in the very first weeks of Expo, and now is Commissioner General negotiating with the city of Huzhou that this city with almost 3 million of inhabitants would like to buy the exhibition as a whole complex. And this is an excellent opportunity, not only because the Czech state, of course, can save some money for the installation and the transport of exhibits, but in first because the exhibition could keep its purpose to represent Czech Republic in China as a creative nation. So this interest, we understand, is quite an enormous success.
That was Jiří Potužník speaking to Daniela Lazarová from the Czech Expo Pavilion in Shanghai. This is Radio Prague. In today's panorama, Jan Wellinger looks at the bright future ahead for a respected research institute in South Bohemia and the projects the site faces in coming years, including trying to save the endangered sturgeon.
The Research Institute of Fish Culture and Hydrobiology in Vodňany, South Bohemia, a center with a long and respected history and part of the University of South Bohemia's Faculty of Fisheries and Protection of Waters, will soon get a major makeover to the tune of 370 million crowns. Roughly two-thirds, allowing the center to renovate two buildings and a complete new one, will come from European funds. Once reconstruction is completed, the institute will be able to focus vigorously on a series of important new research projects, including rearing of the rare Sterlet sturgeon. Valued highly for its legendary golden caviar, the breed is virtually extinct in the wild due to overfishing and illegal trade, and the institute wants to make a difference. More on that in a moment, but first, details on the renovation, which begins in a few days' time. I spoke to Petra Plachtová, the project manager.
The institute has an almost 90-year history, and the renovations, which are due to begin in just a few days, are understandably very important for us. Last September, we came under the Faculty of Fisheries and Protection of Waters, so it is a great opportunity for us to take part even more in international research projects. Our position will be helped through the renovation of the main building, which dates back to 1952 and is in really poor shape, as well as other sites used for research. It will help with international conferences and so on. The project will be a huge milestone for us, but also for the town of Vodňany itself.
Funding provided will also be used to acquire new machines and technology. During this period, the Research Institute of Fish Culture and Hydrobiology will also focus on six major projects run in temporary stations as renovation continues, but then transferred to the new and revamped site. The projects include researching new methods for monitoring water purity, monitoring the quality of fish for consumption, and, as mentioned a few moments ago, helping the Sterlet sturgeon, or the Malý jeseter as it is known in Czech. Petra Plachtová once again.
Zabýváme jeseterama už dlouhou dobu. We've
been focusing on sturgeon for a long time. We're even helping to try and save them in China. We have concentrated on this fish because its numbers have been so drastically hit by overfishing and poaching and illegal trade. Sturgeon are caught for their meat, but especially for their caviar, a luxury item which sells worldwide.
Inexhaustible demand for the world's best caviar, beluga, sterlet, osetra and others only increased in the areas of the former Soviet Union after the Soviet Empire collapsed. Former Guardian and BBC correspondent Misha Glennie in McMafia, a 2009 bestseller on international crime, reported that sturgeon populations into the new millennium were so decimated that in 2004 only 760 tons of sturgeon were caught by the Caspian Sea nations. Compare that to 26,000 tons in 1985. Not surprising, he suggests, given caviar can fetch between $6,000 and $7,000 per kilo in the West. In 2005, the situation had become so grave the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service banned the importing of beluga caviar as part of an effort to protect the endangered fish. Even so, authors like Glennie have suggested the five main sturgeon types in the former Soviet Union will be close to extinction in 2010. And given the gravity of the situation, the sterlet sturgeon could be especially important for breeding purposes. Petra Plachtová of the Research Institute of Fish Culture and Hydrobiology again.
Cílem tohoto výzkumného záměru je vlastně zavedení inovace té technologie výroby kaviáru.
The aim is to increase reproduction of the sterlet through a regulated population kept in ponds and tanks. The cornerstone of the project will be developing a genetic technique to determine the sex of the sturgeon long in advance. Now you can only tell after 7 years or so when females mature and reproduce for the first time. The project will be important for us in keeping female populations to be able to help harvest eggs and boost sturgeon numbers. The results we already now know would also see commercial development, licensed to fish farms with the profits helping fund our continuing work.
Genetically determining the sex of the sturgeon within a few months, for example, instead of years, would save fish farms millions in rearing costs, raising mostly female samples. Commercially, meanwhile, other techniques have already been adapted which could further help the survival chances of the fish. Some firms specializing in caviar have taken an ethical stand and opted for methods of roe removal that don't kill the fish, either using a cesarean section or preferably a far less intrusive micro-incision at the urogenital opening, combined with an applied massage that allows workers to draw the eggs out. Not easy, perhaps, but as Gourmet.com writer Barry Estabrook has noted, far better than extinction. And he calls it aquaculture's equivalent to having your cake and eating it too. Certainly, specialists at Vojvodina's Research Institute of Fish Culture and Hydrobiology will also be hoping to contribute practical solutions. Project manager Petra Plachtová again.
To znamená, že už máme dojednaný nějaký smlouvy nebo předběžné poptávkové dopisy.
We already have some contracts lined up or letters expressing an interest in our research. We want the results to be fully applicable and offer firms the chance to use the methods we develop, allowing them to boost their productivity and results.
Když nějaká je a více se zaměřit právě na ten výzkum pro ně.
Now, as mentioned, trying to help save the sturgeon is only one of a number of ongoing projects at the center in Vodňany. Another is to use certain fish and crayfish to develop an ongoing monitoring system for water purity.
V podstatě by byl vymyšlený systém takových vysílaček.
We plan to use sensors on certain fish and crayfish sensitive to impurities or pollution. We will be able to continually monitor patterns of behavior and will be able to detect when something is amiss. The aim is to monitor water reserves to check against pollution or the presence of dangerous substances. Another project, which we will also conduct, will be research into the detection of microparticles from pollutants like soaps and shampoos to oral contraceptives released in urine into the water, which we know have a detrimental effect on fish populations or water purity, but which normally are too small to register. We would then cooperate with purification facilities to filter such particles out.
As it stands, the revamped institute will officially be completed by 2013, a deadline which members of the institute will most certainly be looking forward to and which they say should not be hard to meet.
That was Jan Wellinger ending that edition of Panorama and Radio Prague's English broadcast for today. If you'd like to hear that program again or search through our archives of news and features, look for us online at www.radio.cz. If you have any questions or comments, we're always glad to hear them. You can contact us by email at english@radio.cz, on Facebook under Radio Prague, or of course by snail mail to Vinohradská 12-12099 Prague. From me, Christian Falvey, and all of us here at Radio Prague, we thank you for listening and we wish you the best.
Ici Radio Prague, programme en langue française des émissions internationales de la radio tchèque, ondes courtes. Pour bénéficier d'une agréable réception, voici la grille de nos horaires en temps universel et fréquence en kHz. Six heures vingt-sept. Europe de l'Ouest, 5930. 7h30, 7h57, Europe du Sud-Ouest, Afrique du Nord-Ouest, 11600. 13h30, 13h57, Afrique du Nord-Ouest, 11600. 16h30, 16h57, Europe de l'Ouest, 9740. 18h30, 18h57, Europe de l'Ouest, 5930. 22h, 22h27, Amérique du Nord, 9440. Nous vous invitons à l'écoute également sur le web. Pour cela, veuillez vous connecter au site www.radio.cz, puis choisir le français en haut de la page d'accueil. Radio Prague est aussi sur le satellite. Vous trouverez toutes les informations sur notre site internet www.radio.cz/français.